Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Getting set to talk some baseball here momentarily, looking to get connected with Ryan Dempster, now an analyst on MLB Network, somebody I know you see a lot, Dave, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I watch
early morning.
Intentional Talk is the show, I believe, that they have on MLB. And there was a hilarious promo last year where they have a moderator, and I can't remember what her name is, but it's Kevin Millar and and Ryan. And she says at one point, she's like, "These guys all know who you are, right? They know who you are, that you played, right?" And they both just kind of look like blank at the screen, like, I don't think so. But they're like in their late 40s, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just popped up his record. His last year was 2013. So you're talking over a decade ago. So there's some of these guys that are playing now that are probably like, "Oh, you played? Huh. Okay, cool." You know, even though this guy, I mean, Dempster, he had a heck of a career. His first year was in 98. He played to 2013.
Yeah. Well, and look, you know, without like, you know, the internet, I mean, I've had how many players come here from Stanford and, you know, they had no idea that I played at Stanford and, you know, was drafted here and everything. So, I mean, the players nowadays, it's just, I mean, anybody who's over 40, 50 years old, they don't really know who they are.
Who was it?
And don't really care.
Was it Turbin that didn't know you played?
Yeah, Turbo. You know, and I was like, well, I wonder when I'm going to get to that point where it's going to be like Rabel, because everybody knows Rabel as the guy that is the broadcaster on the news. And then, you know, at some point, people are like, "Oh, you did play too, huh?" And Rabel ran like a 4.540, which was amazing.
That'd be a 4.3. what is it?
4.37.
4.37.
I know. I've made that joke so many times. He falls for it every single time.
Yeah, he'll correct Rabel you does. Every time.
Yeah, 4.37. Actually, I don't blame him, man, because you know
guy was a burner.
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, 4.37, Rabel.
He didn't play that way, but no, I'm kidding. No, Rabes was good, but no, it's funny. You get into that that age where, or the players go, "Oh, you did, huh? Oh, good for you." Who cares?
They're not impressed.
Nobody really cares.
Oh my goodness, that is so funny. Yeah, I just think it's funny of all people that Turbo had no idea. You're on, I mean, he's in the organization, you're on the broadcast, you're part of the whole thing. I don't know, just you figure he would have heard from somebody that, yeah, you know, Wyman, former linebacker.
Yeah, well, I mean, from my perspective, I probably wouldn't have known either. I mean, I'm not out there, you know, playing Madden and stuff like that. Yeah. And I didn't, you know, really care about the history that much. So, yeah, I can understand why he didn't know that I played in the NFL.
I'm sure you probably came across players when you were in college that were like old timers in football that played in the 70s or 60s or something. And you're like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
Not familiar with you.
Yeah, and sadly, that's kind of
now you're
comparison.
That guy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, I think we're to the point now. Let's see, I think a lot of the players, they weren't born yet, so
yeah,
getting to that
crazy.
Age.
Well, now you're seeing, hey, you're older than coaches. You're older than we've watched their kids play. It's weird.
It's funny today. It's funny you bring that up. I texted a guy named Larry Kerr. He's now coaching, I think, outside linebackers at Duke. He was my coach at Stanford, and so I looked up. I found this like 1985 program, and I just remember when I was playing at Stanford, Larry Kerr looked like an old man, like he had kids. He was 33. At that point. And then Jack Elway, God bless him, he was a mess. But he looked like he was 100 years old. And I looked him up and like, he's 54 at that point. So, yeah, it's that's the harsh reality.
All right, we got our guy now. You see him all over MLB Network. Does a great job as an analyst. Was a hell of a pitcher, and he's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is Ryan Dempster. Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Sorry about the Zoom, guys. I don't know. I haven't paid my cable bill lately, so I guess that's why it's not working.
We're going to need the MLB Network execs to start kicking in a little more dough so you can afford that stuff, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a hamster wheel running in the backyard, so that's easy to keep it going, but I haven't fed the guy in a while.
Well, it's good to talk to you. You know, it's funny to watch you. You're co-host of Intentional Talk on MLB Network and analyst on Marquee Sports Network, which is, you know, Cubs TV Network. I lived in Chicago for about 5 years, and you were pitching out there. And I talked to you a couple times out there. But just to see you doing what you're doing now, I love talking to former athletes in any sport because often the media is portrayed as the enemy. And then very often, as you are aware, you end up becoming part of the enemy, you become part of the media. Was that a thought when you were a player that you would ever end up doing what you're doing now? Or is that something that came toward the end of your career?
Yeah, I was always, if there was a camera, I like to be around it. I just have always been that way. But I think, you know, as I was playing, I had visions of what I wanted out of doing the media and telling my side as a player, being an analyst, you know, trying to remain in touch with how hard it is. Sometimes when we get done playing and the further we get away from the game and the longer we're away from the game and we get up in that press box, we forget how hard the grind is. So I try to always maintain that and kind of keep that perspective. And then, you know, with Intentional Talk, especially, our show is very light. It's our interviews with players aren't so much about, you know, what they were thinking in that particular at bat or out on the mound, but maybe who has the best shower body or, you know, who's the cheapest guy on the team, you know, the kind of things that people really want to know about.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And by the way, do you remember Bob when he interviewed you those times?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah. I'm sure it stood out as a big moment for him.
It's a guy named Bob.
Yeah.
I will say he was a good dude. He was a good dude the few times I talked to him.
I always marveled at how he could spell his name the same front or backwards.
Yeah.
He was dazzled by that back then, still dazzled by it. It's crazy.
No, it sounds like Ryan was, what you're talking about, Bob, is a go-to guy, right? Like there are some guys you know that you can go to and they're going to be cool and they're going to give you a good conversation. So congratulations.
Yeah, and I was appreciated at that time too, you know, especially I think sometimes there are times when people in the media, whether it's the beginning of their career or just how they're built, they want to make a name for themselves or the article has to be about them, you know? And, you know, I remember there was a guy, and I won't name his name because it doesn't matter, but, you know, he wrote for the Chicago Sun-Times forever and he always had the backstage or the back page of the Sun-Times. That was his article. And I never saw the guy in the locker room ever, but yet he wrote articles about our team all the time. Like, who are you? So I appreciate a guy like Bob and other people like him who, you know, when there's conversations to be had, sometimes they're off the record. Maybe they're just for a feel of what's going on. But, you know, it's not about making a name for yourself. It's about trying to, you know, grow the game or talk about the game like you want to. And that's the most important thing. We're all in this together. We all have a job to do. Players play, writers write, broadcasters broadcast. And if we can get along and do that well, we're growing the great game of baseball. And that's the most important thing.
I'm going to guess that's Jay Mariotti. That would be my guess.
Wow, man, you should go on Jeopardy or something. At least the Family Feud with Steve Harvey. He'd like that answer.
Well, I worked with him for a hot second at Sporting News Radio, and the way he was on TV was the way he was in person, which was a creep. So he talked a lot of yang about everybody, and I never once saw him at Wrigley. I never saw him at the United Center with the Bulls, but, boy, he would just tear into people, man. But you're right. He was never anywhere to be seen. So,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. I just as soon as you said that, I'm like, that's got to be Jay. That's got to be Jay.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, it's early, but you know, what do you think of the Mariners as far as the, you know, they're kind of known for their pitching? I saw today there was a top 25 list, and Kirby was on there, Castillo was on there, ranked pretty high. I think they were 7th and 10th. But is that what stands out to you when you think about this team, or do you think about Julio? What sort of catches your eye here in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like myself as the starting pitcher, I just gravitate towards that when I look at teams, because not just because of what they have, but if you want to win in this league, man, it's I always say this, the Kansas City Royals in, what was it, 2015, they messed it up for so many people. because everybody thought you could just have three closers at the back end of your bullpen and you're going to win. And that was a rarity of what happened. And every team I've been on that's been any good, from, you know, teams that have won divisions to teams that have gone to the playoffs to teams that have won a World Series, starting pitching. And the Mariners have that, man. They really do. And, you know, with no Garrett Cole for a couple months, with Sonny Gray now in the National League, George Kirby, Luis Castillo, Gilbert, they might win Cy Young. I mean, they're that good. And so then now what happens is the rest of your bullpen becomes better because these guys go deep into ball games. They're pitching in pitchers' ballparks. And it's just, it's awesome to watch. And you know, offensively, I know that, you know, I don't know if struggles is the right word. There might be struggles to score runs because you don't have those big name bats. But Julio Rodriguez, if he just continues to do what he did after that first month of the season, first 6 weeks of the season last year, he's my pick for the MVP. So I'm picking them to win the division. I'm picking him to win the MVP. I think he's going to be 40-40 or darn close to it this year. And I just think he's a special player. I love watching him play. You know, the catch he made last night up against the wall, you know, the no-fly zone. I just love everything about him, and I think they got a chance to do something special and surprise some people.
What do you think of their offseason, Ryan? Because last year we were, you know, as a fan base and in me as a fan, I'm a fan of the team. I grew up with them. But, you know, I was very disappointed on the heels of a playoff run. They finally broke the curse, and they got to the postseason for the first time in two decades. And then the offseason, you know, Teoscar, we loved that pickup, but then it was Colton Wong and A.J. Pollock and Tommy La Stella and Cooper Hummel. And you're going, really, this is how you're going to capitalize on all the goodwill? And it didn't work out last year. This offseason felt different when it was all said and done by the, you know, looking at who they brought back. What's your impression of their offseason this time around?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some good moves in some power strokes. Polanco's got some. You know, I love the signing of Ryan Stanek. I think, you know, the experience he's had about pitching in the postseason, you know, and the ability to slide into that kind of closer role, and picking up Urias for multiple different reasons, getting Mitch Haniger back. Like, there's a lot of things that kind of floated under the radar. Mitch Garber can rake. So they're not these big, huge free agent signings. But what happened, you know, the year before when you sign all these other guys to play, your talent in the minor leagues has an opportunity for a year to just kind of continue to develop rather than rushing those guys up to the big league. So, you know, with a starting rotation like they have and a bullpen that I think is very solid, I think that there's going to be an opportunity at some point during the year to be able to maybe acquire that big bat if you want it. But, you know, it's always easy to go, oh, we're going to go sign this guy and go sign this guy. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And then you handcuff yourself with a big, huge contract. I like the team. I like the way they're compiled right now. And, you know, but like I said, you know, pitching wins. That's the bottom line. And they got that.
Ryan, you know, it hasn't been that long since you've been out of the league, but played for 16 years. Is there any, you know, and I bring this up because of Matt Brash, but is there any pitches that you see that are like, wow, I mean, that is, it's so advanced from the time when you played? Because everybody who talks about Matt Brash, they talk about his slider and how it's like out of this world. Have you checked that out? And what are some of the pitches and some of the performances you see as a pitcher that that kind of blow you away?
Yeah, I think there is this development of just like really hard sliders that, you know, were a kind of a rarity when I pitched. Like, I actually was one of the few guys, myself, Smoltz, Randy Johnson, who, I'm not comparing myself to those guys, you know, but as far as hard sliders, where I threw my slider at 86 to 88. Now they're throwing them at 90 to 92. Like, these things are just, you know, wiping off the table. And that becomes very hard for a hitter when you have to make up your mind on 96 to 100. And then you got something like that behind it. Like, when you are facing a healthy Matt Brash, well, good luck. You're already pot committed to swing that fastball. And if that thing breaks at all, you're not making any solid contact. But, you know, good changeups are always a plus. The thing that I think impresses me a lot about the Mariners rotation is you got guys who know how to command the baseball. In today's game, the approach of a lot of teams and a lot of front offices is get guys to throw as hard and teach them how to pitch. Instead of, it's like they drive line backwards, go to drive line, throw hard, and then we'll teach you how to command the fastball, versus command the fastball, and then we'll add some velocity to it. And I think, you know, that to me, the two-seam fastball, when you see that kind of stuff, guys being able to do that, George Kirby, that comebacker that he throws a guy's hips, you know, that to me is impressive. And I love seeing that. Everybody throws hard nowadays. Almost every guy that comes out of the bullpen throws hard. But I do appreciate, because I had one, is a good wipeout slider. Anytime you can see somebody throwing a slider around 90 miles an hour, you ask Kenny Hitter, man. It's the last pitch they want to see.
Hey, just as far as you know, comparing when you were pitching versus today, and we're way into the Sabre metrics and everything, and everything's analyzed through advanced metrics. Is that something you've embraced now as an analyst? Was that being talked about? I think 2013 was your last year, so it was around, but not nearly obviously as prominent as it is now. Where are you at with the advanced metrics?
I used them when I was playing. We had the pitcher's edge, you know, the same sort of things. Everybody's got all the data. So it doesn't really matter to me. Like, maybe you might find something in somebody, you see something in a pitch lab, but I mean, the results are still the same. The scores of the game are the same. You know, the nothing's really changed. Offensively, the only thing that's helped is the pace of play. Now you got the best hitters in the world are swinging the bats. But I don't look at the third time through the lineup like everybody does. And the way I say that is that sometimes I could get through a lineup five or six times. I was that good that day. And then other times I was wondering what took the manager so long to come get me out of the game. You know, like, some days you can barely get through it one time. And then other days you're just locked in. You got good command. And there is this approach now of kitchen sinking where it's like right away on the second pitch of the game, we're going breaking ball, and then we're throwing a changeup, and then we're going up and in. And now the hitter's seen five pitches. No wonder you can't get them out three times through the lineup. Whatever happened to it, just a good located fastball, you get him to hit a ground ball to shortstop, he's seen one or two pitches. They've both been a fastball. Now he has no idea what your breaking ball looks like. And you can save that for another time. Two out, nobody on. I know the solo home run can beat you, but if you locate, you're not going to give up the solo homer. So why not try and see if you can get somebody out on a pitch that now you can save for that big situation later in the game? Because what happens is you unload all of that stuff the first and second time through. Yeah, it's really hard. Hitters are good, and it's hard to hit, but it gets easier the more pitches they see. So those analytical things, while guys are throwing harder, I get it. The velocity is higher. I don't think we're teaching them how to get guys out three times through the lineup. And it's slowly dying off. The guys, the Verlanders, the Scherzers, they're getting older and they're on their way out. So we're seeing a game that is five or six innings from the starting pitcher and handed over the bullpen. And Lou Piniella, the great Mariner manager, I remember him one time in the dugout saying to me, he was talking about letting starters go. And he said, you know, Dempster, he goes, every time I walk out to that mound, when that pitcher's throwing the ball good and I point to that bullpen, I risk something bad happen. And that's, you know, kind of true, right? Like, we want to predict the future, but we don't know. You never know what the guy down there is going to look like. So, yeah, to me, I love the idea of slowly integrating pitchers going a little bit deeper into games. I think it's great for the game of baseball. The Mariners have those guys, and they prove it.
That was a pretty decent Lou imitation there, Ryan. That was good.
Oh man, Lou was my favorite, dude. He was like a real life caricature. Like, especially when we got him, you know, because he was a little bit older when he started. He was like the grandpa. Like, he was awesome. Yeah. And you know, if you were a starting pitcher, he treated you like a son. If you were a reliever, he treated you like a dog that took a crap on the carpet. So. You know, it was just awesome. I couldn't wait to get out of the dugout, sit next to him, and see what he'd come up with. And I remember Colorado one time. I got a great Lou story. We're in Colorado, and I see him and Matty Sinatra at the hotel bar having some martinis, like late night on a Saturday. And the bar is closed, but they're still sitting there, and they're talking. And we talked the game for a little bit. I go up to the hotel room, and the next day, it's like the second inning. There's a play at second, and Lou gets hot. And he goes out there, and it was like he wanted to get thrown out, you know?
Mm.
So he runs out, and for whatever reason in Colorado, it feels like a football field away from the dugout out to the field. And he comes back, and he's beat red. And I'm like, man, Lou might have a jammer right now. Like, somebody get this guy some oxygen or something. Yeah. So he's been thrown out. He goes up the stairs, and I follow him up because I want to make sure he makes it all the way up there. And he gets up in there, and he goes in his office, and he shuts the door. And this is the second inning. Now all of a sudden, the eighth inning comes around. We're getting our tails kicked, you know, and it's like, I don't remember the score, 15-2 or something. And here comes Lou out of the office. He's in his tidy whities, and he looks like he combed his hair with a pork chop. And he's like, "What's the score?" And I look over, and I go, "It's 15-2, Lou." He goes, "Yeah, I thought so. Where's the food?" In his underwear. And I just loved it. But I'll tell you what, man, he knew the game of baseball as good as anybody I've been around, and I just loved my time with him. But he was entertaining every single day.
Was he holding a beer and a cigarette at the same time?
No, he wasn't. That was Jim Leland, but, you know, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
My favorite Lou story was that, you know, he goes out there, throws a fit, throws bats out there, you know, picks up the base, throws it, and they ask him afterwards, and he goes, "Well, it's just one of those things that happened."
Yeah.
You know, just perfect explanation, Lou. That clears everything up.
Yeah. We used to go in to talk to him after the game, and he'd be sitting behind his desk, and he was the only manager that intimidated everybody. He'd be sitting there with a cigarette and beers on his desk and just looking at everybody, and everybody was afraid to make the first move. And he would just look at it, and finally he'd break the silence and just go, "All right, what do you got?" Then people would ask their questions. But hey, before we let you go, we gotta ask you, how do you and our old buddy Adam Ray come into contact? How does that happen? Because you're not on the show without Adam, you know, making the introduction here.
Yeah, Adam tells a great story about how I slid into his DMs, which was pretty funny. My definition and his definition maybe are a little bit different. But no, I'm a huge comedy fan, and I knew he was a big, huge Mariners fan, and so I was trying to connect with him when we came up for the All-Star game last year. And I was like, I wanted to have him on IT. I know his personality, and I know he loves the game of baseball. And at first I thought he was, you know, going to be playing in the celebrity game, but he said he didn't have enough followers on Instagram to make that game. So he missed out to JoJo Siwa, I guess. But I just was like connected, and we've just hit it off. And I had him on my Off the Mound show at Innings Festival recently out in Arizona. And Adam's as good as it gets. He's funny, quick-witted, but loves his Mariners. Like, there's celebrity fans, you know, and I don't know if, you know, he's listening right now, and I don't know if we can consider him a celebrity, but I do.
Yeah, we do.
He is as big a fan of his team, his home team, as anybody I've been around. He's passionate. He knows exactly who's on the roster. He knows all about him. He roots for him every single day, and he was electric on the show, and I'm glad we've developed this relationship, and I'm glad that he connected me with you guys, because, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest, that's who I rooted for, you know, the old days of Cairo and watching the Mariner games, and, you know, back from the Alvin Davis and Jim Presley and Ray Quiñones and all these guys, Henry Cotto playing center field. That was my jam. And so at the core of me has this soft spot for the Kingdome. And I actually caught a home run ball in batting practice from Ken Griffey Jr. there one time. So,
really?
Yeah, it's all coming full circle. Thanks to Adam Ray, and he's become a good friend, and glad that we made that connection.
Oh, that's he's one
the
of
best,
the
man.
One of the best people we know. So yeah. That's very cool, man. Hey, really cool to talk to you, Ryan. We appreciate you cutting out time, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again. Thanks so much. You do a great job on Intentional Talk on MLB Network, and we'll be watching and hopefully talking again soon. Thanks so much, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys, and enjoy the rest of the beginning of the season here, and whatever happens for the Mariners, I hope they do great.
Thanks, Ryan.
There you go. There's Ryan awesome. Dempster, again, co-host of Intentional Talk. You can watch it on MLB Network and analyst on Marquee Sports Network, Cubs TV Network. So does a great job, was a good dude as a player. He was always very friendly,
mm-hmm.
which baseball players is a little hit and miss. When I used to have to be that guy to get sound and talk to players all the time, if anybody was a jerk to me, they were a baseball player. Just how it worked out. It was never a basket. It was never an NBA guy. It was never a football player. It's always a baseball player. But he was a good dude. He was a good dude. So nice to catch up with him, and hopefully we do talk to him again. So the good stuff from Adam. Hooked it up. How about that?
Yeah, Adam is amazing, and he's everywhere.
Yes, he knows everywhere. Slid into his DMs. That's so good. Yes. All right, coming up, Emerson Hancock did one thing he absolutely needed to do for the Mariners last night. We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to Ryan Dempster, who joined us in the previous segment, in case you guys are just tuning in and missed that conversation. Really good stuff from him. Nice guy. And you'll find that on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture. Click on that. And it'll be right there waiting for you. And then the next step is to do what,
Dave? Push. Push something?
Push. Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. That's right. 206. Got to have this guy back on. Great interview. Yeah, we'll invite him. It's a matter of whether he says yes or no. But
we'll have to go through Adam Ray, of course. You know, make sure.
Yeah, he'll broker agent. The whole thing.
Yeah,
like this 509 looks like he combed his hair with a pork chop. LOL, what an image.
Yeah, when he said the first part, looks like he combed his hair, I was like, I wonder what he's going to go with here. Would have never guessed pork chop.
Well, the funny thing is him talking about Lou coming out in his underwear, because he often would do his post-game interviews in the, like, the compression short underwear. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they weren't tighty-whities, but they were tight, and they were like, down to the middle of the
right.
thigh. But he'd be sitting behind the desk in just that, and he'd be just staring at everybody, smoking a cigarette with some beers on his desk, looking at everybody. Everybody would always just kind of wait for somebody to ask the first question, especially if they lost. Then you really, there was some apprehension, and he'd finally break the ice with, all right, what do you got?
I remember getting a chance to go meet him. I went to a Mariner game. This is like 20 years ago. And I got a chance to talk to him before. I was with some Mucky Mucks, somebody that knew Chuck Armstrong, I think. And so, yeah, we got a chance to talk to him. And then, you know, afterwards, I was like, all right, thanks, coach. And he's, that's okay, son, or something like that. And he pats me on the back. And I was like, yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, my kids still know that, like, that's an expression I use all the time to explain something stupid that I did.
Oh.
That's just one of those things that happened.
Yeah. You know? After he threw everything.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the best. Yeah, love Lou. Was. Love Lou. All right. Well, meanwhile, last night, Emerson Hancock went out there in his fourth big league start of his career, and he earned his first major league win. So congrats to him on that. They just needed him to go out there. Fifth starter. Just keep him in the game. Just if you can give him five innings and limit the damage, keep you in the game, give your team a chance, and that's exactly what he did. And he talked about, you know, what it felt like to make his MLB debut again.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of felt like a debut all over again. Just the pregame, just the high of how excited I was to get back out there. But, I mean, we wanted to attack. We wanted to just kind of stay aggressive. And, I mean, the defense played outstanding tonight. They really did. The offense came through, and then the bullpen came in and shut it down. So it was a good win.
Sounds like a pro already.
Yeah, he's giving everybody their yeah. props. And he's right, though. They did have some great defensive plays, and the offense, you know, decidedly better. And, you know, perfect timing to support a young guy who is, he's talking about, felt like a debut all over again. So I'm sure there are a lot of nerves out there, and, you know, he's trying to get this team in a position to win, and he's, you know, taking the place of the guy that's supposed to be there. He was supposed to be in the minors to start the year. So just a very cool story, and to see him go out there and do that. And we'll see how many turns he's going to get before Wu is ready to go. But that's a good starting point for him. And he talked about what he took away from that performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just gotta stay relaxed. You know, the game, the margin of error is so small. Things can get away from you. Things can get really quick on you out there. So the more that you're able to just kind of take a breath, take a step back, you know, stick with your plan, you know, control your breathing and just kind of keep going at it and limit those big innings. That's a big part.
It's pretty amazing listening to him talk. I mean, that's exactly the mentality you need from a pitcher, right? And for a young guy, again, looks really young. And, you know, for him, and what Scott said about him is he's not afraid of anything. You know, he's going to go out there and just come right at you. But I just loved how the first inning went so quickly. I mean, it was like, I think I had wrote it down. It was a minute 44 seconds from the time the first pitch to, you know, when he stepped on the bag, he covered first base.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, he just works fast, kept everything down. He looked really good. So I'm excited. The whole time, though, I was thinking about, okay, what about that when people start to figure him out? But I just felt like he had such great command. I don't know that it's going to be a problem. The first batter he takes down was Kwan. Mm-hmm. It was 1-2-3.
Yeah.
So it was really impressive. And I think maybe I was really excited about it because I didn't really expect that. I thought he was going to get shelled. But
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked, I mean, he had one, I think, I have to go back and look at the game logs from last year, but I think he had like one game where he did kind of get touched up. And I think the other two were pretty solid. I mean, again, not dominating stuff where he's just, you know, throwing 99 and just blowing guys away. But he's just kind of quietly effective and did the job of the guy in that five spot. He's not your ace. He's not number two in the three or four. He's your five guy. So you just needed him to keep you in the game, give you a few innings to where you're not killing your bullpen and putting him in a position to take game one, because tonight, presumably with Bieber out there, could be really tough.
This is one of the bigger matchups in all of Major League Baseball, right? I mean, tonight, you're looking at Bieber. He's got zero earned runs, pitched six innings his first outing, 11 strikeouts, one walk. And then you got Castillo, four earned runs, was only five innings and five strikeouts, two walks. But, yeah, Shane Bieber looks pretty good. I know he's in that top 25 list I was talking about. But, you know, I'd forgotten that Emerson Hancock was the sixth overall pick, you know, and that we were talking just now with Ryan Dempster. And, you know, that's one of the explanations of why the bullpen has been really good the last two or three years, because they've had great pitching. Their starting rotation has really, really helped the bullpen out.
Yeah, and just to have the luxury of having this arm available, if he can continue to be effective, if he continue to build on what we just saw and he just gets a little bit better each time, and then, you know, if Wu comes back, he gets sent down, okay. But, you know, if somebody else goes down, if Miller, you know, misses a turn or somebody's out for a number of starts, you've got confidence in the guy that's going to be the first guy that gets called up, and that would be Hancock. So he's developing that. You know, you're developing that trust and that confidence in him, and he's developing that confidence that, yeah, I know I can compete with these guys. You know, this is the best of the best, and I can hold my own and give my team a chance to win.
Oh, and how awesome would it be if he can continue? Now, obviously, you don't, you know, expect just knockout, lights out numbers every time, but if you can get him as a solid, you know, guy who would be in the rotation, you just get a little cushion there because of Wu, and we'll see what happens with him when he comes back. But yeah, it'd be so nice to get some good quality outings from Hancock in case, you know, something happens with somebody else in the rotation.
Yep. So off to a good start. Tonight's going to be a tough one. Just take two or three. I don't care which two they are. First and third, first and second, second and third. Just take two of three, win the series, and then move on to your first road trip. So we'll see if that happens tonight. Meanwhile, there's some familiar questions popping up around this Mariners team. We're going to get into some of those coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports show, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
What a thought.
Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
It's Geno Smith.
Competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that.
Find us on seattlesports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, it's fun.
It changes everything. Never miss a minute of Seattle Sports, your home for the Seahawks and Mariners.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Text line is there for you at 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
Bob, let's try this again. On the morning show, we heard Jeff Passan.
Yeah.
Okay, you missed it the first time.
Yeah, I was focused. Yeah. I was focused in on what you were saying. What did you hear? What did Passan say? But yeah, I got it. I got it. Text coming in, 206. Bob, so you have confidence in Hancock after one start? Well, it's technically his fourth start. We saw three of them last year, and he showed pretty well in a couple of them last year. I'm not saying he's your ace. He's occupying that fifth spot in the rotation. His job is just to keep you in the game, hopefully give you five or more innings. You'll take whatever you get. But, you know, limit the damage. Just give your team a chance to win. That's exactly what he did. So, yes, I have confidence he can do that. Doesn't mean he won't go out there and get touched up. Happens to everybody. But, yeah.
You can see why it would work going forward. How about that?
Yeah.
That's what we got proof of that last night. I'm not saying he's going to do that in, you know, every go 1-2-3, you know, right off the get-go, but yeah, it looks like a little cushion is what the way I would portray that. Gives you a little bit of cushion in case somebody goes down for 10 days.
Yeah, you feel good about his chances of doing it. He could go. He's just as likely as anybody to go out there and just get lit up and maybe last an inning and a third or something. Who knows? It's just baseball. But, yeah, there's reason to believe that he can occupy that spot for the time being and hopefully more often than not give you a chance to win the game. So we'll see what he does this next time out. Meanwhile, you brought up Jeff Passan, and he was on with Brock and Salk, and they were talking about he's explaining why he's lukewarm on the Mariners right now.
I saw pitching that should make them very happy, and I saw way too many strikeouts and way too few walks and the sort of offensive approach that is not going to play over the long term. So that's me to pick up a little bit, but we've been saying that for years now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is kind of a broken record, and you know, Julio hasn't really hit a whole lot. JP hasn't had the home run, hasn't hit a ton, haven't seen much from Polanco at this point, and too many strikeouts there. I will say this, Mitch Haniger's been pretty good so far, mm-hmm. and that has been a very nice thing. You know, I think this offense is going to be fine. I do, but then again, I got in a little hot water around this time last year when I used a word that starts with spa and ends with oil, and not gonna go down that road again.
Smart man.
Who was he calling spoiled?
Maybe the fan base.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I missed that one. I don't know how you could possibly say that with a straight face, that this fan base is spoiled.
Is he talking about the Seahawks, maybe?
I don't know. Do you know what that's in reference to, Lefko?
Yeah, last year. Why not? He called the fan base spoiled at the start of the year because they were complaining. Because the Mariners got off to a slow start like this.
Yeah.
And they were complaining. And he said they were being spoiled because they just made the playoffs and they had a good team and they were going to make the playoffs again.
Yeah.
And he took a lot of heat for that.
Seems like it was warranted.
Yeah, and now, right. So now he's very aware of that, and he makes a joke about
it. Yeah. That's,
he did say it last year. Yep.
Starts with a spa.
Ends with the oiled, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting choice of words, not one you would use in relation to this fan base, much like the word patience. You just mm-hmm. certain words you don't use with a fan base that's been to the postseason once in over two decades. You can't do it. It doesn't fly. I don't care what your intentions were. It's going to be poorly received.
Well, the circumstances last year were particularly painful, I think, for fans. Number one, you traded away, and I remember, I think it was Ruben Amaro was on MLB Network talking about the trade of Sewald and how, you know, if you're in a playoff hunt, you don't trade away assets. And that was, I think, stuck in everybody's craw. And then, you know, being one game out and just seemed to some of the players like and the fans that we weren't all in on going to the playoffs. So, but yeah, everything changed in the offseason. We'll see if it pans out. But looks pretty good so far. I mean, I haven't seen people this positive, whether it's talking to even a guy like Divish. Even Divish seems a little bit happy.
Now you're being silly.
I don't
silly.
Want to say about happy.
Yeah,
I don't want
you're
to
being
use that
crazy.
Word, probably.
Not in relation
he's
to Divish.
He's somewhat amused.
He's less annoyed than he normally is.
Less annoyed, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever happy. But, yeah, I mean, I think you can see the potential of what they have out there. We'll see if it manifests itself, especially when it comes to the offense. I think the pitching is exactly what you expected. We'll see what they look like when they're at full strength. And, yeah, I've got a ton of confidence in the pitching, and that's why they are a winning team right now. They're 3-2. Mm-hmm. You have three wins, and that's not because of your offense. You know, in large part, it's your pitching that's gotten you there. You won a game 1-0. You know, so your pitching has been key very early, but it is – you've got 157 games to go here. So we'll see what they're going to be. I think we've talked to Blowers before about – you know, when do you feel like you really get a sense of a team, like whether they're good, they're bad, this is what they do well, this is what they don't do well. I thought he said like maybe around the 40 game-ish mark, right around there.
Yeah, I was going to say mid or late May, maybe.
Yeah, he put a number, but it's different for everybody. We asked El Hombre that, and he said the eighth inning of the opener. So, you know, Philly, they're a little less patient out there. But, yeah, I think if you're being realistic, it takes a bit to feel like you got to read on what this team is going to be good at, what they're not going to be good at, where the holes are, and all of that. So, listen, if they win with pitching every night, so be it. It's nice to help out that rotation with some offense, but if that's how they have to win early in the season to get off to a good start, then I'll take it. Win however you need to. Just win.
Yeah. 253 says Teo on fire in L.A.
Yeah, four home runs.
We don't want to talk about it. He's got to be leading Major League Baseball, or is he second? Does somebody have five? But, you know, he still has struck out at a ridiculous amount, and that's what they were trying to get rid of. But we just didn't get that version of Teo.
Nah, listen.
We got the strikeouts.
That was a move I liked. I mean, that was a move when they got Teo. I was like, yes, I like that. It just didn't work out. I mean, I don't blame Jerry for that. I don't blame Jerry or Justin for, you know, what are you doing bringing this guy in? No, that was, I think everybody liked that move at the time. Yeah, he's tied for the league lead. His teammate, Mookie Betts, has four. So, yeah, that's
Mookie's batting like 750 or something.
What a lineup. My goodness.
Yeah.
That is just, he's way worse. He's 520. He's got 10 runs driven in so far. Mookie Betts is just ridiculous. I love this guy. I love watching this guy play. But yeah, seven games. He's got four home runs, 10 runs driven in. He's hitting 520 with a 636 on base and a 1200 slug. He's got an 836 or 1836, excuse me, OPS.
Well, and I think with Teo, going back to him, I mean, he's got 28 at-bats. He's got 13 strikeouts. I mean, that's what they were trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
But it's working out for him, right? I mean, he's got a 250 average and the four home runs you mentioned to go along with nine RBIs. I mean, that was like, hey, we'll take the strikeouts. Just give us, you know, the home runs and the RBIs, and did not materialize.
Yeah, you didn't get that balance you needed, but all right. Good for him. He's not a guy that they're relying on the way they do, obviously, Shohei and Mookie and Freddie Freeman.
I wonder about that, too, you know, because that's something that somebody said about Jared Kelnick, that, you know, that he had, you know, such a reputation, and just the way Scott talked about him when he first came here, five-tool player, and he's going to be this and that, and now he doesn't have that pressure in Atlanta. And, you know, maybe it'll pay off for him. I'm trying to remember his numbers. We looked at him. They were pretty decent. But he didn't have a lot of at-bats.
Yeah, he was hitting five-something or something crazy like that. But, yeah, his number of at-bats is not the same. But he's off to, good for him. He's off to a good start in Atlanta. I'm pulling for him. He's the one guy I didn't really want to see him go.
Yeah.
Personally.
545 average, actually.
545. Doing pretty well.
That's not bad.
All right. Coming up, you're going to hear from him every week with us during the Mariner season. Mike Blowers makes his triumphant return. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports on 710.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.